What a glorious thing. What a wonderful thing. What a marvelous thing, oh Lord, that you have done. Faith, give a call to faith. Sweet lady, would you request some things for us? All right. I want to tag that text, and before I tag that text, I'd like to thank several people. Paul, Keisha Matthews, Simon Marsh, Sabrina Edlin, Tawanda, I don't have a list in front of me. Even a friend of my daughter, Giovante, who told us the exact specifications of the equipment we need. And then for the two people, you know, make a substantial contribution, Reverend Atkins and Carolyn, and even the person who got another saved. We just want to thank him so that the equipment we have is, iPad did a good job for a long time, but that iPad was limited. And so now, you know, since we're going to have to do this for some period of time, it's just good. It's just good to share this in a more precise, more cleaner way. And we don't have a screen to see what's on the screen, but it's right here.
Yeah.
So I'm going to take that text on model meeting. A model meeting. Let's pray. Almighty God, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for this worship experience. But now comes the preaching moment. So I ask you one more time, O Lord, to search me, try me, know my intimacy. You know it right now, Lord. Because all of us are sinners. Thank God, all of us are sinners, sin factors. We all have destruction in us. So I ask you to remove anything that might be destructive to this word. Give me again that clarity of sight of mind and speech. And Lord, continue to give me strength. And I'm going to stand on your promises because you've done it before and I know you can do it again. So I give you all honor, glory, and praise this day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We a model, we need a model this morning, church. And I have to believe, wasn't it nice to hear the Ten Commandments?
Yeah,
we talk about putting the Ten Commandments in the school, Ten Commandments at the courthouse. We don't just hear the Ten Commandments read in the church house. Mm-hmm. It was good to hear them read. But I believe that when God gave Moses the Ten Commandments, even though they had become the basis of laws in both Christian and Jewish nations, I don't believe that was God's original intent. For the Hebrews had been enslaved for 400 years, treated as less than humans and under persecution. Probably like many of us, they hated themselves. And remember, if you don't love yourself, how can you love anybody else? In fact, you can't even love God because you are made in God's image. As individuals and collectively, they felt the heavy hand of their oppressor. And in a strange way, so many times when people are set free, instead of embracing the freedom that only God can give, oppressed people pick up the bad habits of their oppressor. We treat those in the same situation that we are, just like our oppressors treated us. Well, I never will forget in my early years of practicing pharmacy and my community involvement, I was involved in model cities. I was involved in the community action program. See, back then, government tried to solve the problems in the city. Seems that government doesn't want things to happen like that anymore. They just let things run down and let people come in with plenty of money, buy things real cheap, and gentrify the earth. It's been 8 years since I sold my pharmacy, and sometimes when I ride through what used to be the hood, things have changed so much It's like the prayer place I work never existed. But back to the point I was trying to make. The Community Action Program set up a clinic in Fulton. A clinic with a physician, a dentist, and a pharmacist. A resident of the neighborhood was hired to be the receptionist. And you know something? She talked to her neighbors like they were dogs. She was finally pulled aside and asked why she talked to her neighbors like that. And she said, that's how they talk to me at the clinic at MCB. See, God knew the Hebrews would not treat each other right. So God gave them these rules, not in dealing with other nations, but how to treat each other. And that's why there was so much sadness in Israel in 1995. When the prime minister was assassinated by another Jew, but thou shalt not kill men, thou shalt not kill another Jew. And it's tragic that in 1865, when we were freed from our physical chains, even though we claim the Old Testament story many times in song, let my people go. Did my Lord deliver Daniel? Ezekiel saw the wind way up in the middle of the air. Joshua bit the battle of Jericho and the walls came tumbling down. See, we knew the Bible. We had good theology. But the 20 verses that could have made us better, we saw them as laws to protect other people. Laws that were enforced. Laws got us convicted when we crossed those invisible lines. But laws today that have little meaning when it comes to us. Laws that seldom and ever get convictions when we steal or kill each other. See, God gave those commandments so the people in the text and we as a people today could come together as community. We missed it 55 years ago. But you know, I gotta thank God this morning for giving me an inquiring mind. I'm always reading, I'm always listening. For on Friday, you know, I had to go back and add this into the sermon. On Friday, I was listening to that great black theologian, Willie James Jennings, who used to be at Duke and now he's at Yale, speak on how racism is enforced. He says, you know, Western education enforces the mentality of the plantation mentality. See, God always has a way of giving me something of substance for a sermon, especially when I miss the main point. See, for our ancestors had lost their land. They lost their language. Their God had been taken away from them. The institution of the family had been torn apart. Babies separated from mothers, husbands separated for wives, in order to keep our ancestors enslaved, any and everything was done to keep them from becoming a community.
Yeah.
And did not stop with the end of slavery. But anytime we tried to lift the community collectively, laws were changed, and then there was always that literature. And because the pain and suffering they endured, I have to excuse their ability to come to God. However, I'm preaching this command, these commands this morning, and praying that the Spirit of God would touch some hearts. But in these difficult days, when domestic terrorists are told to stand back, when so-called men who get their manhood from walking with four guns that are Green Beret trying to intimidate us, we need community like we never needed community before.
Yeah.
As we prepare to end our text, the complaining has stopped. The Hebrews defeated Elimelech. Defeated Elimelech because Aaron and Hur held up Moses' hands during the battle. Oh, I love preaching that sermon. That's a good one for Pastor's anniversary. But you know, Moses was getting old, but when Moses' hands were held up, the Hebrews would win. But when his hands went down, the Hebrews would lose. So Aaron and Hur got on each side and made sure their hands were up until the battle was
over.
Or in chapter 18, Moses' father-in-law Jethro came to visit him, and he noticed that Moses there was trying to do everything. And he told Moses, it ain't good. Delegate authority so that you won't kill yourself. And I'm so glad before I got there, I embraced Jethro last Sunday. I've taken the S off of my chest. It's just that many churches need to change their mindset. The mindset of a master or a couple of masters and the rest of us being used as tools. And y'all can say here, I've never operated that.
Amen.
Just embrace your freedom before it is taken away from you. In chapter 19, Moses prepares for a divine encounter. A divine encounter where Moses receives the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments that focus on relationships. Relationships that are horizontal and vertical. And sadly, at too many Christians, we want to focus on the vertical relationship and ignore the horizontal. However, Scripture reminds us, how can you love a God you can't see and not love your brother or your sister that you can't see? And that first relationship in the commandments is the vertical one. Our relationship with God. God who created the universe. God who created us. God who has done so much for you and done so much for me. God who loved us so much that God put on human flesh and died for you and me. And see, that's a relationship right now. So God says, I am the Lord God who brought you out. The Lord who brought the people of the text out of slavery in Egypt. And the Lord who brought our people out of slavery in this land. And not only that, all of us have been in some bad situations. Situations where we were bound up and held back. Where the same Lord brought us out of our messed up situation. I hope I ain't the only one
that's
shout about that. Somebody needs to thank God right now for bringing you up.
Thank you.
Bring you up when others were holding you back. Bring you up when others had convinced you that the messed up situation that you were in was the best that you can do. And don't let this be a time of praise, but just for those that the Lord has brought out. Because if your situation is jacked up this morning, the same Lord can bring you up. And because God brought you up, God gave the command, you must have no other gods before me. God that can't bring you out. God that only pull you down. God made with human hands. That don't make no sense at all. Because if you made your God, you got more power than your God. And you know, whatever, you know, whoever your God is, you invest in that God. You invest your time and your money in that God. See, years ago, you know, we just pull out the checkbook and tell who your God was. But many of us today, we digital. So whatever method you use to track the money you spend is a good sign of who your God is. And wherever you spend most of your time, see, both are good indicators of the God that our God said we must not bow down before. We must not have. You know, they lived in different times, did different ways. They actually made images that they considered as our gods. We do a little bit different than today. We made our cars our God. I know we'll get a guy over in church and he washes his car every morning. I finally washed mine yesterday after a month. Our homes are our gods. We even make our shoes. The verse also says, no form whatsoever of anything. And you know, that's why we take down the images in the sanctuary. That's why there are no plagues, because we have this tendency of turning things around, worshiping symbols when we should be worshiping God. See, God said, do not bow down to them or worship them. And all of us need to make sure and check ourselves. We are not bowing down or worshiping anything other than God. See, we thank God for this building, but we don't worship this building.
Yeah.
See, I'm glad most of you love your pastor, but you don't bow down or worship this pastor or any other pastor. When the bowing comes, when the worshiping comes, both are reserved. And the thing about God, God is very honest about God's character. God is compassionate. It's one of those, for me, you know what it said, one foot in the door and the other out of the door type relationship. And you know, with God, both feet are in or both feet are out. And when we start slipping and sliding, dipping and diving, nobody has to tell God, because God all knows all, and God gets mad. And since we have peace with God because of Jesus, the last thing we need to do is mess up that peace, because we got a jacked up relationship with God. See, peace, we want peace with the Almighty. Peace with the all-knowing and all-powerful. And why I'm so glad God has changed his attitude of what he said here. But you know, the sins we commit do affect our children. See, we need to change as soon as we can. We need to break that intergenerational curse. You know, I preached this sometime, I think last year or earlier this year, and most people didn't know it. In fact, somebody said they went home and told somebody about it. See, to keep us from knowing about God, our ancestors, slave masters, would set up the fights for our men on Sunday. Couldn't go to church, couldn't go there and beat up each other. And then, while the fight was going on, those that couldn't fight, they gave all the liquor they wanted to drink. And don't think for a moment being free was much better than the slavery in the years after 1865. So they held on to those habits that gave them some form, even if destructive, of relief. See, whatever is destructive in your life, whatever in your life is not of God, bring it to an end right now so that God can be loyal and gracious to you and those who follow in your example. The last thing when it comes to God is, don't use God's name in a disrespectful way. When you use God's name, it should always be about honor. It should always be about glory. It should always be about giving God some praise.
Yeah.
And when it's not, just saying the last part of that verse frightens me. The Lord won't forgive anyone who uses the Lord's name in a disrespectful way.
No.
See, I know some folks are born cussing. Get up in the morning cussing. Cuss all day long. Go to sleep cussing. But if you want, find some other names to use when you cuss. But I don't want you to have to suffer for using God's name like it has. Awesome. Especially since God should be our all-knowing. The next relationship is about self. And I know for years, like many of you, we have seen this commandment is all about God. But remember, holiness is a physical and mental state we need to be in. a physical state and a mental state that requires you to be well, so that you can be what God wants you to be. Now don't get me wrong, sickness will come into your life. Don't get me wrong, this is not an excuse to be lazy. Sabbath is all about rest. We say, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Refresh your body, refresh your mind. Well, let me say that one more time. The Sabbath thing is about refreshing your body and refreshing your mind. And I know this confinement because of COVID-19 is causing us to deal with not really having any structure in our lives, you know. But instead of looking at the confinement from the bad side, look at it from the good side. All the things that you can get done that you haven't gotten done. But you know, the problem stems from the fact that we are not in real relationship. As I got ready to prepare this, I went and checked it. I have, and very seldom I send out requests, I have 2,702 so-called Facebook friends. Most of them, I truly don't know. In fact, you know, there I've gotten to the point I have to check to see if they're alive before I tell them happy birthdays. Develop relationship with real people, and this thing won't be so bad. Yeah. Amen. Like, preach on that. See, the commandment was to keep yourself holy. Give your mind and body time to recharge. But you know, after we work all week, you know, we go out on the weekend, we stay up longer than we should, and put things in our body that we should not do. See, one day, your body and your mind need some rest. 6 days, you may work and do all your work, all your tasks. In fact, for years, some of the old, if you're old like me, you remember the blue law. Certain things couldn't even be sold on Sunday. But as holy folk, as Christian, because we wanted what we wanted when we wanted,
yeah,
them laws ain't no more. In fact, Christians got to work because we going to the store getting stuff that they ain't got selling. And it's all about our wants and not our needs. And as he noticed, this command shifts over to others. Not only should your mind and body be refreshed, your sons and your daughters need to be refreshed. Your male and your female servants need to be refreshed. It was an animal economy, so the farm animal needed to be refreshed. Even if an immigrant was staying in your home, that immigrant deserved the same. I couldn't go down that road, but I'm going to leave that for another Sunday. But it bothered me, you know, the animals came before the immigrants, you know. Remind me of that movie Pearly, you know, feed the animals and all, you know, after you feed them. After you feed them. But if the Lord worked, and then the Lord took some time to rest, don't you think that you need some rest? And I know Serena been out there shaking her head all the time and waiting for me to say, I'm preaching this thing for myself this morning. Finally, we deal with our relationship with God. God wants us to love God. God wants us to love ourselves and others that God places in our lives, especially those who should be in community with us. God wants us to be in a right relationship with them, just like we're in a right relationship with God. First should be our parents. God said, honor your father and your mother. Notice the command does not say obey. For this commandment is not for little children. This commandment is for grown children. See, as long as you sucking up somebody's air, as long as you eating somebody else's food, as long as they're putting clothes on your back, you are to obey.
Yeah, yeah.
But when you grow up, when you're able to take care of yourself, then you should help take care of the parents who took care of you when you could not take care of yourself. And the second part of that commandment is more about setting a commandment. Because if you take care of your parents so that their days may be long, and your example is done in love, not of expecting something in return, your example will have your children doing the same thing for you. Next few weeks put together. Do not kill your fellow community member. Who gave you the right to take a life? That life was going to have a role in making our community better. Just think about it. Booker T. Washington walked all the way past Roanoke up to Hampton to go to school. Just think of somebody would have taken his life. Carter G. Woodson, all these great people. You know, everybody has a role in making the community better. We got to stop all this killing each other.
Yeah.
And it's just not killing a physical body. It's about killing hopes and dreams. It is about killing the spirits of those who are trying to make things better. See, a lot of killing that we're going to have to answer for in glory is for what we're doing right up in God's
house. Yeah.
Don't commit adultery. Remember what I said about our ancestors. Do you want to do the same thing that our oppressor did to a member of our community? Destroy a relationship. Tear families apart. When that relationship was probably the most valuable thing we had. Do not steal. They don't have much, just like you don't have much. Putting our things together rather than stealing from each other builds community. Do not testify against your neighbor. Her commit something back then. Your word was your bond.
Yeah.
I know that's not the case today, but people will lie about any and everything. But to lie on somebody back then, to lie on somebody when I grew up, that took away the opportunity for that person to make that contribution to the community. The last commandment would keep a lot of us from getting financial problems today. For we desire, and we sometimes try to take the things of our neighbor. For that desire sometimes gives us in more debt than we can handle. And when we try or we take things from our neighbor, trust is removed. And things that need to be done in a community never get done where there's a lack of trust. We don't do business with each other because we don't trust one another. That's why we can no longer build institutions. Institutions are built on trust. But I love how our text closes. God has put on a display of thunder and lightning. The sound of the horn and the mountain shake. And listen to what the people said to Moses. You speak to us and we'll listen. And they knew they were learning. It's just that they knew and they had seen the power of Almighty God and they knew what God could do. And then they said to Moses, like Moses could control God. Don't let God speak to us or we'll die. Well, God spoke to people then, and God is speaking right now, and people are not dying. I love what Moses said to them, and I'm saying to you this morning, when you see God move, move with power, don't be afraid. Words we hear in the Bible so many times, woman, why are you crying? Don't be afraid. Behold, the glory of God, stand still and don't be afraid, because God has come only to test you. And you know, we used to have testimony time around here, but But see, we have to call the test of life a whole lot of times, because you got to have a test, and you got to go through a test.
Yeah.
Have a test of it.
Yeah.
The hard times, the rough times, the times you were not there, but God picked you up. God made things all right.
Yeah.
God worked things up. That's when you got a testimony. That's when you can come in the church and tell folks about what the Lord has done. And then he said, it was to make sure you would always be in our God. But isn't our God an awesome God?
Yeah.
And if you sin, if you sin, if you believe, if you believe your God is an awesome God, God done washed your sin. And when you think about the awesomeness of God, you might want to do the wrong thing. But then you say, how you say that? Wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. I can't do that.
Yeah.
I serve God. So remember these commandments. Place them on your heart. Don't wait for them to put them up in the congressional halls, in the city halls, in the school houses. Put them in your heart. But more especially, look at these commandments in a different way. We will get on with it. There's been something we've gone through in the Bible, the laws we say we have in the land. Look at them differently. Differently, because it was all about community. Community. Something that we as a people need today, need tomorrow, need right now. In a mighty. I say it in a mighty. In a mighty, mighty, mighty way. Amen.